Good morning once again. I'm so glad that we could be together on this Lord's Day morning, and of course, as mentioned already, Mother's Day. We are going to end our series, conclude our series of what's now it's week six of our Shepherd's Explanation, in which we have been going verse by verse of Psalm 23. And so if you have your Bible, Psalm 23, we'll be looking at the very last verse of Psalm 23, and being part six of our lesson, in which we are talking about that in this psalm we are being taken on a journey with the sheep through the cycle of its year. And once again, as we repeat from last two lessons, that as we got to verses 4 down through 6 especially, that as the sheep are following their shepherd, as we get this imagery in our minds, through the mountain valleys to the tables of pasture land, we have continued to see the intimate conversation they have along their way. So keep that in mind as we go on to the last part of our series of Psalm 23. Reading the entire chapter yet again, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Here's our verse for this morning's lesson and our conclusion of the series. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So let's think about these verses and conclusion of what David himself was saying at the end of Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and loving kindness," or mercy, "will follow me all the days of my life." We have to keep in mind who it is that's speaking here. That's one of the main objectives of studying the Bible, is who is speaking. Thinking about from their side of it what they have experienced. And as we say, once again, we are astounded, right? That David, a man whose life that we have talked about several times, was marked with adversity from his own king, from the Philistines, from his own family, and from his own sins, said something like this. That even at the end, he actually says, "Truly goodness and mercy," or loving kindness, "will follow me all the days of my life." After all that he's experienced, after all that he has faced, and yet as he again addresses us, once again, his fellow sheep, he claims goodness and mercy will follow him. Considering the last half of this psalm and what it meant to shepherds, the statement is equally amazing. Once again, we've talked about Philip Keller and his book, right? We talked about that in the Shepherd's Explanation of Psalm 23. There are sheep who have been led by their shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. He has been led onto a tableland right into the face of his enemies. That was last Sunday morning's lesson, wasn't it? He has experienced the rod of his shepherd in discipline. That was one of our lessons. Yet he has the wisdom to know that all of this was for his best interest. We understand that, and being that it's Mother's Day. There are some things that I thought, my mother is absolutely out of her mind. Why does she want me to do this? And what's the old thing? Because I said so. It's always the favorite. But you know what? All those things I didn't realize with my parents until later I realized they were for my what? Best interest. There is a key thing that we find throughout the Bible. And yet David says he expects that to continue for some of his life. How long is that supposed to last? It's supposed to last all of his life. So I have a question. And the question that I pose here is, can we be sheep like this? Can we be like that? Surely it is easy to feel goodness and loving kindness will follow us right after we have killed Goliath. Right? Well, that was a major task in his life. That's a check mark, right? Yes. But what about right after Absalom has stolen the kingdom? How about that? See, there were some other things that was coming along in his life. That the Goliath was not the end, was it? That wasn't the end of the major task that he has accomplished in his life. That's it. There's more to it. Sometimes we wonder, man, does it ever stop? Can we give thanks to our shepherd for goodness and loving kindness in the difficult times? That's a good question. So to the shepherd, this statement actually has a double meaning, right? It refers to the goodness and loving kindness these sheep expect from his shepherd. It also refers to the goodness and loving kindness that the sheep will leave in his wake because of the work of the shepherd. We talked about that. And we're going to consider once again an excerpt from Mr. Keller's book and the description of a shepherd's explanation of Psalm 23, especially this part of our lesson. We have focused in on the sheep as well as the shepherd. But notice what he says. Sheep can, under mismanagement, be the most destructive livestock. We sometimes wouldn't think that, but in short order, they can ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy, says. But in bold contrast, they can be the most beneficial of all livestock if properly managed. There's a key thing right there, isn't it? Properly managed. He goes on to tell us some things. I said last lesson we saw some things. We say, well, that was a little disturbing. But he continues saying, the manure is the best balanced of any produced by domestic stock. When scattered efficiently over the pastures, it proves of enormous benefit to the soil. The sheep's habit of seeking the highest rise of ground on which to rest ensures that the fertility from the rich lowland is redeposited on the less productive higher ground. No other livestock will consume as wide a variety of herbage. Sheep eat all sorts of weeds and other undesirable plants which might otherwise invade a field. That's something to consider, isn't it? In a few years, a flock of well-managed sheep will clean up and restore a piece of ravaged land as no other creature can do. That's interesting. Who would have thought that, right? So let's apply it. Let's see what we can say here to this. Focusing up on us, when we as sheep, here it is, allow ourselves to be blessed by following the Good Shepherd, what do we leave? In turn, we leave a wake that we mentioned before of goodness and loving kindness. We leave it. You remember Jesus and Simon the Pharisee? We should, because we just studied about him in one of our Contrasting Character Series sermons, right? Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, therefore I say to you, her sins, remember that woman, that sinner that Simon was talking about? Oh, she shouldn't be doing this. She is not worthy. Which are many are forgiven. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, he was talking about this parable here, wasn't he? Regarding the debtor, the one who truly realizes the blessing of goodness and mercy and loving kindness he has received will be the one who actually derives, who imparts the most love to the one who bestowed that mercy and to others who need mercy. See, that's what he was telling Simon the Pharisee, wasn't he, in that parable of the debtors. It wasn't, as we've talked about in that lesson, the amount of debt, 70,000 versus 7,000 as we put it out there, but it was the awareness, it was the realization of what had happened to that debt, of the person who forgave them that debt. So what am I leaving for others? It's about how much I put into it, right? Let's consider, examine and question our own lives as Mr. Keller advises. There are some questions that we say, do I leave a trail of sadness or of gladness behind? We answer for ourselves. Is my memory in other people's minds entwined with mercy and goodness, or would they rather forget me altogether? Another good question. Do I deposit a blessing behind me, or am I a bane to others? That's a good question. Because many times we say, believe it or not, we leave a trace of ourselves upon somebody every day. No matter where we are, what we're doing, we do. In Corinthians, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 verses 2 and 3, in chapter 3 verses 2 and 3 of 2 Corinthians, that we are known and read by all men. He says we are epistles written on, not, we're not talking about tablets of stone, but he said on fleshly tablets of men's hearts. That's something we say is deep. Another question. Is my life a pleasure to people or a pain? When the Lord is really our shepherd that we have talked about in this series, we truly wear His mark, don't we? And carefully follow His lead. His goodness and loving kindness will truly follow us all the days of our lives. Think about it. As we examine ourselves in that first part of Psalm 23 and verse 6. Answer these questions on the individual basis here. And let's get down to the last part of it. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you remember how David began the psalm? Of course we do, don't we? So we're still in Psalm 23. We know this psalm by heart, the proud proclamation, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He ends with the equally thrilling statement, I believe, that here it is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You ever found that the beginning and the ending is very interesting? How it begins and how it ends. Not just something, once again, as we mentioned at the beginning of this series, that Psalm 23 is mainly read at funerals, but something that we live by and understand in this explanation. Here's a question. Why wouldn't that remain? Why wouldn't he remain? He would be foolish to seek the shepherding of another master. Would he not? Wouldn't that be the description? We'd say, absolutely. While this statement is a reflection on the ability of the shepherd, David's statement also says a great deal about the sheep, doesn't he? Because he makes mention that despite the walks of the valley of the shadow of death, despite pasturing under the menacing eyes of the enemy, despite having endured the sting of the shepherd's rod, David has no desire to leave the house, the flock, the fold of the Lord. He does not have a desire to leave. He's saying that he loves it there. He enjoys it there. What does he say? He's saying that he wants to be a part of the family. Reminds me of Galatians chapter 3, doesn't it? Is that one of the verses that come to your mind about becoming a child of God, entering into that fold? You remember, if you look at Galatians chapter 3 and that of verses 26 down through verse 28, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's that unity that he's talking about. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We say that's family right there, isn't it? That's the description that we have for ourselves in the Scriptures. And so in view of this psalm, you might be like me, puzzled at the thought of why anyone would ever want to leave the fold of God. With everything that we've talked about throughout Psalms 23 in the last 6 weeks, we would say, who would want to leave that? We'd say, that is the best deal ever. Yet how many people do? How many leave that? Having come to a greater understanding of David's psalm, I recognize that it has a great deal to do with outlook. Don't you? Don't you think that's the word that fits here? Outlook. So let's consider that having to do with our outlook, once again on the individual basis, how do the sheep perceive what goes on around them? That's a question. Do they trust the shepherd's judgment, or are they wrapped up in their own desires? See, that brings a verse to mind, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Whose word is it? It's not mine. It says, Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. What's 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17 say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is proper doctrine for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What's 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, doesn't it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do the sheep find comfort in the rod and staff, or do they become angered by it? I'm not going to lie. I was angered by the way my father whooped me. We all would say that kind of angered us a little bit, the way that he grabbed us up and took us outside and whooped us and then brought us back in and told us, don't cry. How many of us has heard that in our life? Yes, we all have. You gave me something to cry about, but you're going to tell me I'm going to give you something to cry about. You've already done that. I never have understood that, but I can't wait to say it to my children. So, you know, we all understand that. But do we actually understand why we're doing this? Why that's happening? Is there a purpose behind it? We skip over sometimes those verses pretty quickly in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, don't we? Oh, how quick. We think instruction in righteousness. Like that. That's good. I like that. Reproof. Wait a second. Reproof, rebuke. Nah. See, those words, they tend to, there's some tension there. But I remember Paul telling Timothy to reprove and rebuke. Don't you remember those words? Reprove, rebuke, with all longsuffering, doctrine. You see, those words come to mind all the time. How many of us would actually say, I'm comforted in the rod. I'm comforted in the staff. Because I know that it's for my, what was the words we used earlier? My best interest. I'm going to become angered by the rod and staff if this is the answer to that question before it. If I'm wrapped up in my own desires, I'm going to be angered. That's automatic. Has a lot to do with my outlook of how I perceive things in my life. So, we as the sheep are the only ones who can determine our outlook on these things. It's my decision. No one else makes that decision for me. My mother, my father, Kenzie. It doesn't happen. I make it for myself. We know this. Let us boldly make this psalm our own anthem of life in following Christ. Let us proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's proclaim, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope that we can all say that this morning. I hope that is us described there. There, Sue. Article. That's going to be in this morning, that's in this morning's bulletin, called The Echo, that I would like to end with before we get to the very conclusion chart here. Making sure that was still there. Life is an echo. What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in others exists in you. Remember, life is an echo. It always gets back to you. The article goes that a son and his father were walking on the mountains. Suddenly, his son falls, hurts himself, and screams, "Ah!" And to his surprise, he hears the voice repeating somewhere in the mountain, "Ah!" Curious, he yells, "Who are you?" He receives the answer, "Who are you?" And then he screams to the mountain, "I admire you." And the voice answers, "What?" "I admire you." Angered at the response, he screams, "Coward." He receives the answer, "Coward." He looks to his father and asks, "What's going on?" The father smiles and says, "My son, pay attention." Again, the man screams, "You are a champion." The voice answers, "You are a champion." The boy is surprised, but does not understand. And the father explains, "People call this echo, but really this is life. It gives you back everything you say or do. Our life is simply a reflection of our own actions. If you want more love in the world, create more love in your heart. If you want more competence in your team, improve your competence. This relationship applies to everything in all aspects of life. Life will give you back everything you have given to it." I remind of Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." In verse 10. Let's ask some questions about our echo, what we have studied in this series. Have we found ourselves in the barren, burned up, diseased, and parasite-infested grounds without the Good Shepherd? The Good Shepherd has laid down his life for us and is holding open the door into his fold so he can make us, as we have studied, lie down in green pasture, lead us beside still waters, restore our souls, guide us in paths of righteousness, comfort us in the valleys, prepare a table for us before our enemies, anoint our head with oil, and follow us with goodness and mercy. What is the echo that is coming back to me this morning? What is it saying to me? Think about what Paul said. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Despite what we may think, we will not find these things outside of Christ. It's not there. Let us take the opportunity to be marked by the Good Shepherd and enter His fold. If there is something that is amiss in our lives right now, Christ wants us to become the sons and heirs. He wants us to become into His fold, His family. David could not imagine leaving it. He's been there and done that, hasn't he? He realizes what that's like. But even after the consequences of what sin brought to him, you remember what he said after his son had died? He said, "I cannot bring him to me, but I can go to him." What is our determination this morning? If we're subject in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?